punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great students of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Happy, what day is it? It's Wednesday. Had a blonde moment there, because you know I am blonde-headed. Anyway, happy Wednesday, everybody. We are under a red flag warning for most of western Oklahoma and all the Texas Panhandle counties involved in Oklahoma. Jackson, Harmon, Greer, Beckham, Roger Mills, Ellis, Harper, Beaver, Texas, Cimarron. We got Hemphill. We got every county in the Texas Panhandle. How about that? I'm not going to name them all off, but we are under a red flag warning. So be careful out there. As I always say, check your chains. Make sure you don't have any bad wheel bearings. Don't be running no flats across the pasture. Please, even though there's no wind out there right now, please do not be out welding in the pastures today or starting a fire, because I'm going to tell you why. If you look on the mesonet right now, western Oklahoma has 6 to 10 to 14 mile an hour winds out of the south. Right up there in the Oklahoma Panhandle and out in the Texas Panhandle, winds are already sustained at 38 with wind gusts up to 50. It's headed our way. So if you have started something, put it out or make sure it's out, because it's not going to be pretty here after a while. And then tonight, around 8 o'clock, the winds are going to be switching from the west to the northwest. It's going to cool down. And we're just, anyway, let's be careful out there. Use common sense. How about that? Anyway, let's check out some temperatures in our listening area. Right now at Altus, it's 56. Eric, you're at 59. Camargo, you're at 48. You're actually probably about the coolest spot in the state. Looking at the mesonet, it's 63 degrees, 63, 64 up in the Panhandle around Slap Out and Beaver. And Weatherford, you're 55 degrees. I'll have your long ranger forecast coming up for you later on the show. Coming up in the second segment, Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech right here in Elk City is going to be on here. We're going to be talking soil health. Getting ready for wheat pasture and pasture, just your grass pastures. A lot of good things coming up. He's always interesting and good to have on the show. Got some good stuff to talk about. First of all, let's check out what happened in the ag world last night real quick. Soybeans jumped in overnight trading amid continued dry weather in Argentina as investors square positions ahead of tomorrow's world agriculture supply and demand estimates. The report, precipitation will be limited to only the edges of Argentina in the next 10 days, sounds like about around here, allowing crop stress to rebuild in about two-thirds of the soybean and corn growing areas, according to the Commodity Weather Group. Temperatures this week were in the 90s and low 100s. The hot weather will continue through much of the next week, adding stress to crops that have been facing extremely warm and dry conditions for much of its growing season. The weather in Brazil, however, has been moving the other way with rainfall this week, and in the 11 to 15 day outlook in Brazil, it's likely to reduce the stress on soybeans in the southern parts of the country. Prices are also moving this morning as investors square positions ahead of tomorrow's report, according to the USDA. A survey by Dow Jones shows traders are expecting USDA to raise its outlook on ending stockpiles for soybean, corn, and wheat. The USDA will release a separate report showing grain stockpiles on December 1st, and analysts are expecting a year-over-year decrease in inventories on both corn and beans, according to the Dow Jones poll. Soybean futures for March delivery added 9 cents to $14.94 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $3.70 to $472.60 a short ton, and soy oil rose 45 cents to $63.02 a pound. Corn futures gained 2.5 cents to 657.5 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery fell 1 penny to 730 in Chicago, while Kansas City futures dropped 2.5 cents to $8.09 a bushel. Okay, national weather lookout here. Oklahoma and Texas, you're in the news. Red flag and high wind warnings have been issued for most of the southern plains. Today is dry weather persists in the region, according to the National Weather Service. Winds in parts of Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle will be sustained at 25 to 35 with gusts up to 55 expected. Humidity will fall as low as 11%. What is our humidity? Well, it's 34 here at the studio right now. Winds in southwestern Kansas will gust up to 60 miles an hour. In parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin, meanwhile, winter weather advisories will remain in effect till mid-morning as wintry mix falls in that area. The greatest impacts from this wintry mix are occurring in a narrow band of mixed precipitation that is moving northeast across western and central Wisconsin. How about that? All right, let's check out what's going on in the real world right at this minute. Corn for March is 657, up 2. May is 656. July is 649. And September is 606. Soybeans for January, $15.14. March is 1493. And May is 1496. Soybean meal for January, 504.80 a short ton. March is 473.30. May is 458.30. Hard red winter wheat, March 820. It's up 9 today already. May is 817, up a little over 8. And then we got oats for March, 346 a bushel, up 5. And May is 342. Stroll on down here to the cotton. It's down today. March and May both are 84 cents a pound for CME cotton number 2. Live cattle for February. All of your livestock are in the red today. February, 157.62. April, 161.40. June's 157.37. August is 157.45. Feeder cattle for January, 183.55. March is 185.77. Lean hogs for February, 79.37. April's 88.50. May is 95.60. Looks like S&P, NASDAQ, Dow, they're all up pretty nicely today. So is oil. Crude oil for West Texas Intermediate is February, 77.71. It's almost up $2.60 today. And natural gas is dropping in the red. It's February is 3.54. And March is 3.23 and April is 3.18. Anyway, so we got, hey, you guys know what's coming up in the next 2 or 3 months. So just get ready. I'm going to talk a lot about it. We got bull and female sales everywhere. But we got some of the best sales in western Oklahoma, as far as I'm concerned. And coming up January 28th, the Hudson Angus Farms 10th annual bull and female sale will be happening there on the Hudson Farms there on the south of the interstate there on the west side of Elk City. They're going to have 65 bulls and 20 bred heifers. I'm going to have the Hudson Angus Farms on the show coming up next week to talk about the line of bulls and heifers they got coming up the sale, so it'll be all good. And we got more bull sales to talk about every day, so get ready. But you guys also know that Wednesday is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour, all hour. All cattle are not the same, just like in people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some short, some have blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steak than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you that mouth-watering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch selling quarters, halves, and whole beef. Third-party verified, all-natural, and hormone-free, also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. 609-4662. There you have it. When I come back, Mr. Kent Watkins will be on here with me from SEI Agritech, and just we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Good day to all you great stewards of the land around Western Oklahoma and the East Texas Panhandle. This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 9th. 3,332 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 337 brought 271. 11 at 523 brought 218.50. 10 at 595 brought 209. 16 at 679 brought 187. 6 at 708 brought 189.50. 41 at 759 brought 190.50. 10 at 1061 brought 160. 6 head of heifers at 385 brought 214. 9 at 453 brought 185. 22 at 505 brought 191. 20 at 597 brought 176.50. 5 at 662 brought 161. 15 at 680 brought 169. 51 at 770 brought 169.50. Butcher cows were 10 to 87. Butcher bulls brought 85 to 113. Bred cows were 600 to 1275. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Currently at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center here in our studio, we have 3 mile-an-hour wind out of the south, 56 degrees, and 33% humidity. I'll have your northwestern Oklahoma forecast coming up for you at the start of the next segment. In the studio with me today is one of my favorite days of the month, even though I got to remind him to come. One month I forgot, and so we delayed it. Anyway, Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. How's it going, Mr. Watkins?
It's going good. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to everybody out there.
Yeah, Happy New Year's to you too, sir. And how's business?
Feed business has been really brisk.
Cool.
Not a lot out there to eat, and So they got to feed them if they're going to keep them. And so feed business has been pretty good.
Are prices stabilized? They coming up or are going up or coming down?
Feed prices have pretty much stagnated. And
okay.
They will probably in the near future stagnate and maybe slide down a little bit, but not dramatically.
Right.
Not dramatically.
Not enough to go to the bank on?
No.
So, that is, well, we got some topics to talk about today. And, of course, we always like to start out the show with you with the five pillars of soil.
Five pillars of soil health. I hammer on it every time I'm in here, and I will and forever. For us, the first one by far is armor on the soil. Keep the soil covered up at all times. The second one would be low disturbance, so that means no-till planter or no-till drill.
Right.
Living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible to keep the microbes that are underground that do all the work for you, to keep them alive and going. They have to have something to eat even in the winter. And then diversity in plant species. That's why that summer cover crop is so vital, and it makes really good pasture, makes really good hay. But the biggest thing that the summer cover crop does for you is it really helps the underground life that's in there, and you have to have them to convert fertilizers and other things to be able to go forward. And then the last one is livestock, where it fits you.
Right.
If you have a pasture that doesn't have water in it, that's probably not the place to do that. But anywhere you can get livestock in the game, you're better off.
Right. So. Well, I got this question asked to me, I don't remember, the same day or day after you were on last time. So I got a question for you, because there's some people that are listening to the show are not farmers or ranchers, but they want to know about it. And the question I got to ask is, what is strip tilling? And what is there any advantage over conventional versus no-tilling or vice versa?
Strip tilling is just what it says. It is tilling a strip 4 to 6 inches wide. If you're a row crop guy like cotton, corn, or milo, something like that, strip tilling is another way to do it, that you till the strip that you're going to actually plant your crop in.
Okay.
But you don't till everything.
Okay.
So for us, it's less invasive than conventional. Right now, with this no rain deal we still have going on, it would be a lot better than conventional tilling, but not nearly as good as no tilling.
Right. Well, so I just finished up sowing wheat here. Mm-hmm. And I had one pasture that my landlord had some cows out on, and just to keep the weeds ate down and stuff like that, and they just needed some grub. How's that?
There you go.
Pretty plain and dry. Then the field next to it still had my weeds on it and grass on it from that were dead from the summer. And I think I sent you a video asking you if this counts as no-tilling and our cover crop. I will tell you that even 2 weeks later, I still have moisture in the ground where I had cover.
Mm-hmm.
I disturbed it, but it didn't dry out.
Right.
Where I didn't have any cover, I'm not so sure that wheat's even going to come up because the ground dried out. And then we're going to have this crap coming in here today, this wind, and it's just going to take another...
It's going to take another hit.
It's going to take another hit, and unless we get a rain, which there's some chances coming up next week, but that's just chances. I'm not betting on it, but cover does make a difference.
It makes a huge difference. The biggest, like I say, keep the ground covered up so that you're not blowing, the ground's not blowing, and you're not baking in the summer and all the things that are obvious. But the biggest thing about it that people just don't see is the microbial life underground. And if a person will concentrate on taking care of them, the above ground stuff becomes a lot easier.
Right.
Because the underground life, they'll take care of the above ground if you just give them an opportunity to do so.
Right.
So.
Well, that was a question I got asked, so I just saved it for today.
Well, there you go.
And there you go. Hope that answers your question. So what's one of our topics we got today?
Okay, so let's talk about fertilizer on pastures and weed control on pastures. So in a native pasture, you obviously would not put out any fertilizer. Those native grasses, the root systems are way too primitive, and they won't recognize commercial fertilizer anyway.
Right.
So don't waste your money. And everybody already knows that.
I don't know about that.
Well, I will tell you now, they will not, it will not convert enough to offset the cost.
Right.
Not even close. So in the native pastures, then it's just weed control. The biggest thing that people, I won't say do wrong, but maybe jump the gun a little bit, is they get anxious about it because they got a lot of acres of what they're going to do. They think they're not going to get it all covered, and they run the herbicide way too early. So they're running the herbicide in April or even March, and then you run out of gas in May and June when the hard-to-control weeds are just emerging, and the hard-to-control weeds would be Maristel, Buffalo Burr, those real hard to control, and then you either have to put up with it or complain to your chemical rep and he's not going to do anything about it anyway, or respray. So with the cost of everything now, hold your fire a little while and maybe start hitting those in late April, early May. If you're in a cotton growing region, obviously you want to do that ahead of cotton planting if you can, just to be a good neighbor.
Right.
Or switch into a chemistry that your cotton neighbors are using so that it doesn't hurt their cotton even if you're late. Right now, except for maybe the Woodward, the northwest part of the state, we have early moisture now.
Right.
So we are probably likely going to have early pasture, even in your improved grasses like Bermuda grass or plains or whatever. If you have improved grasses, then you're going to want to probably look at a nitrogen source as well as the herbicide. If you're going to run dry, you really need, if you're going to use urea, you would want to do that now into February. But you're going to have to time that to a precipitation event,
right,
or you're going to lose 25% right off the bat to volatilization, because 25% of that product is ammonia.
Yeah,
and
it's just
going to gas away.
Right.
So nitrogen choice is a big part of that, especially with the cost of nitrogens. So that's one dry. The other dry that is available to us would be 21-00-24. That's an extremely stable product. The nitrogen is already in a nitrate form, so it's not going anywhere.
Okay.
All it has to do is melt into the soil, and it is plant available right then. It doesn't have to go through the microbial activity that the urea will need to go through to be plant available. It, as soon as you get it melted out and in the soil, it's ready to go. Liquids, you can use 28-00-05, that's sulfur, or you could use 32 UAN. If you do that, then you can kill two birds with one stone and get your herbicide in there with that and make one pass and be done. But if you're doing that, if you're going to put the herbicide in there, again, you need to wait to pull that trigger way down into April, into early May.
What's too early to apply fertilizer on your non-native grasses, improved grasses?
On improved grasses, you could do it any time, but just keep, if you're not worried about herbicide or you're going to make that herbicide shot later, you could do that now. But really, if you're grazing it and it's short, the other consideration is, are they going to be able to pick up enough as they're grazing, are they going to be able to pick up enough nitrogen to be detrimental to them?
Right.
So you would need to at least think about a rain event,
okay,
snow event, something, some kind of moisture event to get it in the ground.
Okay. So it's not really, depending on the scenarios, it's not too early to do grasses.
No, not if you're...
Because you're not going to use it until they grow anyway,
that's
right?
That's right. But you can already have it in a soil profile, already in the nitrate form, plant available form, because that's the only form that's available, that's plant available, is nitrate. So it, like urea, would need to go out now to be plant available for wheat, let's say, for wheat going to grain. Because if you wait till February, it won't get available in time. And then that's why everybody in the old days, you know, they would spread urea and they would grow, you know, 60, 70 bushel straw and still just 25 bushel wheat. That's the reason why it wasn't available when it needed to be.
Right.
So it's the same thing in pastures. Improved pastures recently in the last few years, we hadn't had to worry about having too much rain for a denitrification issue. All we have to really be concerned about, and in most years that's true out here, all we really need to worry about is a volatilization issue.
Gotcha.
So time it to a moisture event and you'll be off to the races.
So soil samples and application of fertilizer on native soil is a waste of time?
Application of fertilizer on native soils, yes.
Okay.
At any price, yes, it's a waste of money.
Right.
It's just those root systems are just too primitive. They are not going to pick up and utilize.
And native grass by itself does cattle good if you had plenty of it anyway.
And typically in the native pastures, there's still, I mean, they've kind of done a pretty efficient job of eliminating diversity in those fields through weed control. But most of those fields that are native are pretty rough. So the only way you're going to do it is an airplane. And now these days, that's kind of expensive, especially with the cost of everything else.
Right.
So, you know, not a lot of guys are going to drag a sprayer over some of that native ground because it's just too rough.
Not mine.
No. So, you know, I wouldn't waste a penny on fertilizer on native pasture at all.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, Kent and I will continue our conversation. I have Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech on here with me today. We'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at BNL Red Angus.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmingGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got Tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there. I'm Jill Duresha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 6th. 1,869 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 346 brought 284. 4 at 468 brought 258. 7 at 526 brought 225. 17 at 587 brought 183. 5 at 653 brought 171. 11 at 693 brought 177. 18 at 840 brought 178.50. 3 head of heifers at 278 brought 216. 10 at 412 brought 196. 8 at 415 brought 204. 15 at 509. 9 brought 194, 10 at 557 brought 185, 7 at 608 brought 177.50, 13 at 735 brought 168, butcher cows were 10 to 85, butcher bulls brought 55 to 114, bred cows were 600 to 1710, pairs brought 335 to 1725. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Am I the only one stopped up in western Oklahoma? Golly, man.
Springtime's almost here.
I know. It doesn't matter. It started early for me this year. And I even took a pill today. Anyway, all right, here's your northwestern Oklahoma forecast. Long Ranger, and I picked Beaver today. It's 68 degrees. They are under a wind advisory until 9 o'clock tonight and a fire weather warning until 8 o'clock tonight. Humidity is 18%. The winds are out of the west at 24, with the wind gust already up to 34. Earlier when I started the show, I seen they had a 48-mile-an-hour wind gust, so it's getting it up there. Today, it's the first time I've seen this in a while. Blowing dust, 66 degrees. Tonight, 27 for a low, blowing dust. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 50. Friday, 55, mostly sunny. Saturday is going to be breezy with south winds, 12 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 40. And same thing on Sunday, mostly cloudy, though. And it's still going to be a little breezy, even though it's in there. So that's your forecast for Beaver, Oklahoma. So anyway, one quick note for you guys. I got a text message from somebody in Leedy. And the Leedy Ag Boosters annual calf fry and trophy auction will be a week from today. January 18th at 6 p.m. in Leedy at the gym. Meals by donation along with live and silent auction items. All the money goes to help with kids' animal products. So anyway, you guys get a chance, go to the Leedy Boosters Club calf fry. I wish it was about 30 minutes closer to my house because I love calf fries. So anyway, I don't know. I guess it's not that far. I go to Pack Saddle to get them.
It's not that far.
It's not that far.
It just seems like it is.
Yeah, it just seems like it is. I have kin folks around Leedy, so I should just go. Anyway, Kent Watkins is in here with me from SEI Agritech. Kent, what all besides feed and seed, what else do you guys do at the store?
Well, the cover crop seed is our main thing, and we custom blend the summer cover crops. We can do 5 or 6 grasses, 2 or 3 legumes, whatever you want, and then we do the same thing in the fall with triticale, rye, and then get the legumes in that. I'll also do some consulting work, and
I'll verify that one.
And then I've done ag, chemical, and fertilizer for 40 years. That's typically what we do. And then we've added the feed line 2 years ago, and it's really taken off well.
Good. Well, they got a question for you.
Okay.
Is spraying microbes beneficial to improve grasses, blue stem, and Bermuda? If so, when's the time to do that?
Okay, so the short answer is yes. The longer answer is time that to a rain event, get them washed to the ground. You also can do the same thing without spending the money on it. So you have to make, that's an economic decision for you, whether you want to spend a little time to do it and let them multiply on their own, or if you want to flood the soil profile with them whenever you spray them out. That's just purely dollars and cents is what is beneficial to you and your operation.
Right now, with our weather pattern, right now.
Right now, it's too dry. I wouldn't, unless I had irrigation on it, I wouldn't mess with it right now.
Okay.
I really wouldn't. I want to make one more thing about pasture spraying. Now, this is for Bermuda grass only. If you're going to have to go after sand burrs, and I think everybody in the free world is this year, the one thing that is labeled for it that needs to be sprayed early, so that's a February shot, is a product called Resilon. It's a 3-ounce shot. It's pretty pricey. You're going to be right at $30 an acre for the Resilon. There are broadleafs on the label, but I wouldn't hang my hat on that. I'd go ahead and throw a splash of 2,4-D or dicamba in there with that. But it will give you an early start on grass burr control. If you miss that shot or don't want to make that a shot for grass burrs in established Bermuda grass, you could run a 10-ounce rate of glyphosate whenever the burrs come out, but before the grass covers them up.
Right.
If you hay it or graze it off hard, let them come back and then spray it then. But that's established Bermuda grass only, because you got to remember, if you're doing a 10-ounce shot on your headlands, you're going to have to be really careful where you overlap, because that turns into a 20-ounce shot, and that could thin your grass stand.
Oh, I got you.
So, you know, be
precision farming.
Yeah, it would help to have your guidance calibrated. Yeah.
Well, that leaves me out, because one year I was 5 foot off. Oh, no, I wasn't. Yeah, I guess I was. I was 2.5 foot off.
On each side,
and it ended up being 5 foot.
Yeah.
And some dummy, next time he does it with a Ranger, probably ought to make sure his little deal's right center of the Ranger, not off to the easy side.
That'd be the thing to do.
I was saving room for my ice chest with cold beer.
I understand.
All right, we're going to wheat.
Okay, so let's talk about wheat fertilizer and herbicides. Now, this is for people who are going to go to grain. If you're going to go to grain, you're too late to, already, right now, you're too late to use urea. So if you're going to use a dry, that leaves you with ammonium sulfate, 21-00-24.
Okay.
It's already in the nitrate form, like I said, for the pastures. It's already there. It's too much sulfur, but sulfur is very mobile, so the wheat will pick up what it needs. The rest will get a little bit deeper. And your next crop in there will take advantage of that. So you're not going to lose it, but the wheat won't use it all. If you're not going to use dry, you want to use liquid, make a one-shot, one-pass deal and get your herbicides in. Then the three options you have is 28-00-05 sulfur or 32. If you use those, then you can get your 2,4-D and or dicamba in with that as well, and make it a one-pass deal. One and done, you're finished. The one thing that I would remind you, because we do a lot of double cropping now, in the old days we used Finesse and Amber a lot.
Yep.
Okay. That's gone away for us out here because a lot of guys want to double crop or put a cover crop in. If you use an SU like Amber or Finesse, it's going to lock you out of a summer crop of any kind.
Okay.
So you're not even going to be able to do a summer cover crop on that, because it will kill the legumes, and that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
So just be thinking about that. Don't make a mistake and throw them in there and then realize 3 weeks later that you've just...
Hey, if you're like me, you use the weeds as a living root system in your cover crop.
You know what? There's something to be said for that. You may catch some ridicule for that, but there is something to be said for that.
I don't have any cotton farmers by me, so anyway, got a question for you. What's best to kill red horn poppies in wheat right now?
Well, the only thing you really have is 2,4-D or dicamba, or both. If you really want to take them out, and then again you're locked out of a summer crop, throw the SU in there. Of the two, I would use Finesse.
Okay.
Not the Finesse grass and broadleaf. That one's not what I'm talking about. It's the old Finesse 75 product that hit the market, I don't know, 25 years ago. Okay. That's the one you use. You would need to run a rate of at least 0.4 ounce along with your hormone herbicide, 2,4-D or dicamba, at whatever rate you're going to run.
Right. One more question for you. Is there a grazing restriction on the shot for the stickers, your 3-ounce one?
No, there's not on the label.
Okay.
The only caveat to that is if you have horses, I would make sure you had some kind of rain event to take all that chemistry to the ground so that you didn't graze, especially bred mares. I would get that off the plant before I turn bred mares out on it.
Okay.
Because horses, their gut's a little bit backwards in there anyway, and they're always looking for a reason to die.
Yeah. So. I read that deal yesterday on horses, and I always thought you just went out and rode your horses, but they're pain in the...
Well, yeah, horse people, they take care of their horses. And, a good horse, would founder on the wind change,
I'll have to remember that one.
And a plug, you could graze out on I-40 for 20 years and he'd never get a scratch on him.
That was two quick questions. So somebody's listening.
There you go.
Anyway. And then a question for you from me.
Okay.
Stickers and wheat.
Well, you're going to have to wait until your wheat's off.
Okay.
And then it's going to be...
wait for it to come up, because I want to put a summer a cover crop on.
Okay, so let's get the wheat off. They'll be pretty much up by then, but only in the 2-4 leaf stage, long before the burrs ever there.
Right.
And then give it another week or two to get some growth on it, and then smoke them down with glyphosate.
Yep.
And pick up the broadleaves at the same time with the hormone.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. That was my question for me. I have two fields over there that a lot of people would be impressed with my sticker crop.
I think everybody in western and southwest Oklahoma had a real good sandbur crop this last summer.
I've been growing these for years.
Yes, they really took off this last year.
Last year when I was spraying that one pasture, the stickers was off the Ranger tires, was throwing them up in the cap.
Yeah.
And I was getting mad. So I slowed down.
That happens more than you think.
Anything else on wheat?
If you use a liquid 28 or 32, and this is just a trick of the trade that absolutely will work. If you don't want to have to deal with the burn that the 28 or 32 gives you, you can add a 10% boron to that at a quart rate per acre. It will sequester the ammonia. Just long enough for the ammonia to soak through the leaf instead of ripping through the leaf to cause the burn. But boron does a lot more than that for you. It's a sugar mover, and it moves those simple sugars into carbohydrates for you. So you won't have you may not have anyway, but you wouldn't have a green bug problem because they survive on simple sugars. And if the simple sugars aren't there, they're not going to live there. But you can take out boron deficiencies in your wheat with a 1-quart shot in the spring if you choose to, and it will pay you to do that.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break. We ran along there, and when we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast And we're going to finish up with Kent. He's got some stuff to tell you about. You might need to order now and not wait until this spring. And I actually got another question for you when we get back. First, let's listen to Mr. Jerry Nine with his report from yesterday's sale up there at Woodward.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale this Thursday, January the 12th. We're expecting 4,500 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Freedom, got 375 steers, 4.5 to 5.5, long-weaned. A lot of those are strings of black cattle. Vyshaw got 63 steers, numbers 4 to 550. Eric got 100 steers, 4 to 5, long-weaned. Chiquita, Texas, 140 steers, numbers 6 to 7. Sealing got a 42 steers, number 7.5. Mutual, 108 steers, 7 to 8. Alba, 119 steers, 5.5, long-weaned. Chattuck got 197 steers, numbers 4.5 to 6.5, long-weaned. Arnett, 38 steers, 8.5. Moreland, 41 steers, 7.5. Moreland, 20 steers, 7.5. Seymour, Texas, 72, mixed 6 to 8. Moreland, 61 heifers, 7.5. Winoka, 73, mixed 7 to 8, 50. Hammond, 127 steers, numbers 6 to 8. Sayre, 139, mixed 7.5. Freedom got 59 mixed 7 to 8. Byron, Oklahoma, 195 steers, 8.5. Winoka, 65 steers, 8.25. Fort Supply, 260 heifers, 7.5. Arkansas, 63 steers and heifers at 7.5. And Buffalo got 140 steers at 8. Give us a call. We'll start the auction 8 a.m. sharp. Lots of those long-winged 500-pound steers probably have 600 to 1,000 of them. Thanks, Kim Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Beef is on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 10th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 28th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. Selling 65 head of 2-year-old and 18-month-old feed intake tested bulls. Also selling 20 head of bred heifers and 16 head of bred second calf cows. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 28th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
Barn Ice and Ford Elk City has huge news. The deals are back and the inventory is arriving daily. Plus, we're offering as low as 0% financing on most Ford SUVs. Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all starting at 0% plus customer cash. And let's not stop there. How about as low as 0% financing on 22 and 23 F-150s? They're coming in daily. All new models and great savings. Now that's the Barber Dyson difference. BarberDysonFord.net.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your Livestock Nutrition Center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
high school juniors and seniors. Do you want a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes? Western Equipment, a John Deere dealer in Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico, is holding a Mechanical App 2 competition in Plainview, Texas on January 14th. Do you have common sense and know a thing or two about mechanics? If so, then this event is definitely for you. You can learn more about this event and register for it at west-equip.com/competition. Registration spots are limited, so grab your ag teacher, counselor, parent, or buddy, and we look forward to seeing you on the 14th.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Kent, pick a town in southwestern Oklahoma.
Roosevelt.
Closest I got to Roosevelt, Mesonet Center, probably be Hobart, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, or Medicine Park, which would be closer.
Do Medicine Park.
Let's do Medicine Park. I don't even know that I've ever done them. But anyway, we're getting ready to. All right. No warnings, watches, or nothing for Medicine Park. Currently right now it's 60 degrees, southwest winds 13 miles an hour with wind gust up to 17, humidity's 30. Today, mostly cloudy, 69 degrees for a high. Tomorrow, 52, Friday, 53, Saturday, 60, and Sunday is 65 degrees, and it's just going to be one day with wind, one day without. So anyway, it'd be pretty nice down in there in the big Wichita, Oklahoma Rockies, I call them. Anyway, so, all right, I got a question for you from the text line. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is in here in the studio with me. The show's already going by fast. We have 5 minutes left. So, quick question for you. Is there anything I can put on a pasture that was overgrazed prior to buying it last year to help the grasses recover and thicken up? It's primary bluestem and other native grasses.
Okay, so if you're talking about native blue stems like big blue or little blue and then the other natives, no, pull the cattle off, give it a chance early to get going again. That's going to be more rain dependent than anything else.
Okay.
Don't waste your money on fertilizer. Okay. And then if it starts to turn to ragweed or broomweed on you, live with it this summer. Next fall, before you get a freeze, spray those out and get a start on next year.
Okay. Good advice. Yeah, you can tell when the native grass pastures are been overgrazed.
Yeah.
And you get and they never get to recover.
Yeah.
You see a lot of ragweed.
Yeah.
Our broomweed mainly.
We got
ragweed. I got to be politically I can't talk about it because I love quail.
I understand.
And so, anyway, so that was one of the questions. One more thing before we get back to Kent. The SARE 4-H and FFA Booster Club is hosting the next Southwest Oklahoma Show Pig Series that's coming up. This jackpot show's coming up here to Elk City Convention Center this Saturday. And you remember about 3 weeks ago they had one here, and it was six, 700. There's a lot of hogs. Anyway, this Saturday, the 14th, the boosters will be helping with the show and working the concession stand. Please come watch and have breakfast, lunch, or a snack. The proceeds will go to the SARE 4-H and FFA student projects, not just pigs, and they want to thank everybody in advance. All right. You said something earlier before the show started that guy might need to be ordering some stuff maybe.
Yeah, at least book it. We're still doing the same thing we were doing last year to some extent. Supply chain issues are still a problem. I would at least book chemical now, whether you actually use it or not later. And seed, and I'm talking about Milo, corn, or cottonseed, get them booked because the primo varieties that you really would want to plant, they're gonna sell out.
Right.
They just will. The chemicals, it's a little bit different in that, you know, last year at this time, they were trying to sell glyphosate, 5.5 pound glyphosate for $65 to $72 a gallon. Well, it's about half that cost now. So the chemistries are available now. I don't have any idea if they'll be available in season and past that.
Okay.
So at least talk to your supplier about your needs and have that conversation, whether it's with me or somebody else. And then the other thing, SEI Agritech, we now have Advanta seed. That's corn and Milo. They have all the varieties that fit our geography here. But the big thing that they have is in-house 0% financing on anything of theirs that you buy, and that is through December of 2023, so through December of this year, 0% financing, and it's 0% financing all the way through December, not just through September, and then they start stacking on interest on you. That's not what they do. So it's 0% all the way. It's a one-page application, and if you have a permanent address and you didn't run with Jesse James, you're probably going to get approved.
Cool. One quick question. Is there a way to tell the difference between Common Bermuda and Midland Bermuda right now in dormancy?
No. No, not right now.
Taste?
Maybe. Not Kent, right now.
Not right now. Kent, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. It's been a great show as always. And thanks for everybody participating online with us. You guys have a great day. It's The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.